If we were in worship in person this Sunday, we would all have our palm branches in hand as we marked the occasion of Palm Sunday. When I was in Montana, this was always an exotic thing for us because it would be virtually the only time during the year that any of us would encounter palm branches unless it was somewhere on vacation. Now that I've lived here for several years, it now seems like something I just take for granted. It's part of the landscape. Palms were part of Jesus's landscape too. Therefore, it seemed only natural that as he's entering Jerusalem riding this donkey, as Hosanna in the highest, as the king arriving to town, the people are joyful, they're celebratory. This is a miracle that is taking place. Jesus is coming into town, and it's this moment of whimsical joy because he's on a donkey, and we're not really sure why he's on a donkey, but he found a donkey, and he's riding it into town, and there are palm branches on hand, and the people take them and lay them in the path before Jesus. Now, of course, this is very strategic because during the time in which this was taking place, they were getting ready for the festival of Passover, and so Jerusalem was preparing for a lot of festivity. And on the other end of town, there was a military parade coming into Jerusalem from the other direction. The Roman military on display with all of their war stallions and all of their armor. And then on the other end of town, we have the complete opposite. We have Jesus, who's just sort of stumbling along on this little donkey. Two completely opposite images, and Jesus knew this. Jesus wanted to be the humble one who stood up against the world's largest military power with nothing more than a donkey. Jesus knows that he's entering this time where he will soon face the cross. He knows what is coming. And yet he continues to choose the way of humility. He continues to choose the way of love. Even palms have a symbolic meaning. At this time, they were symbols of virtue. So it wouldn't be uncommon to see a palm frond on a coin or on a medal or a medallion, or in some cases, government officials would choose to have palm fronds be the artwork in their palaces or in their government buildings. Palm fronds were a symbol of virtue. And Jesus is coming into town representing all of these virtues of goodness and choosing to come into town just as himself. But while there is surprise and there is delight as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, there is also this sense of melancholy that we feel. Because we know that public opinion will change drastically in 5 days. In 5 days, the same people who are laying palm fronds on the ground will be the people who are yelling to execute Jesus. They're going to be the people who turn him in. They're going to be the people who watch as he is crucified. And we find ourselves in this crowd. People who have the capacity for such great acts of justice and mercy, but at the same time have the capacity for creating suffering and pain and division and hurt. This week we experience Jesus coming into town on this smelly little donkey, a homecoming that's been long awaited, and yet we know that there is suffering to come. But I think that Jesus created for us a very important image that we should always keep in mind. That even when the other side is showing its teeth with its military might and with its power and with all of its weaponry, Jesus chose to come on a donkey. He chose to come in the most humble way imaginable. It's almost too humble. Jesus, you would think, would want to come on some other more dignified animal, but instead he decided to come on a donkey to make a point. Jesus came knowing that the love that he had and the justice that he expressed and the mercy that he embodied was enough. And we have the benefit of knowing how the story ends. We know that we will find an empty tomb, and we know that justice prevails over injustice. Light prevails over darkness. We know how the story ends. We know that when we experience suffering alongside Jesus, that Jesus stands in solidarity with us, that in suffering we are not alone. And that an empty tomb follows Good Friday. We know how the story ends. This week, instead of creating a YouTube video, I decided to return us for a week to our most familiar format, the way that we worshiped together for most of the pandemic. And I decided I would share with you the way that different artists have captured Palm Sunday. I hope you enjoy taking a moment to reflect on and look at the different ways that different visual artists have decided to interpret this text, the parts that they thought were important to depict, the colors that they used, the feelings that this might evoke in you as you reflect on this coming Holy Week, as you reflect on what it means for us in our world today. What does this story also say about the human condition? About the fact that we are capable of such miracles of justice and mercy, but at the same time are capable of causing so much pain. Human beings have the capacity to do some of the most amazing things and to care for each other in some of the most profound ways, but at the same time, human beings have the power to walk into a grocery store and to kill 10 people, to walk into a spa and to murder numerous other people. Humans have the power to make the decision to stand on the side of love or to stand on the side of hate and disenfranchisement of others. We have the power to speak up, to help build up our communities so that everyone, no matter who they are, has the ability to participate in public life. Or we can stand by and allow government bodies to create laws to make it more difficult for people of color to vote. We can decide to build up the community, to allow every voice to be valued. Or we have the power to allow others to disenfranchise people because their own grip on power feels fleeting. Every day we can choose when we speak up for justice, when we speak up for that which is right, even when it seems difficult. We can choose to be people of an empty tomb, people who believe in equity and equality for all. Or we can choose to add our voices to the chorus that would like to make us think that there is not enough, that we are not enough, and that we must be divided against each other. Palm Sunday offers us an occasion to reflect on who we want to be, what crowd we want to see ourselves be a part of. Will we be one of the people who welcome Jesus into town and then yell for his crucifixion, or will we be people who are holding palm branches and welcoming Jesus into our lives and doing so by showing him that we will always stand for the least of these, that we will worship Jesus and find Christ in those who the rest of the world casts away? I look forward to joining you as we begin Holy Week and as we reflect together on this most important week of our faith. Before I close, I also just wanted to briefly talk about what the future of church will look like in the near term. And the answer to that is that we won't be changing all that much. We will continue to worship in the way that we have been for the immediate future. And the reason for this is because while there are churches who are able to worship outdoors, which is a luxury that we don't necessarily have, these churches have to make deep accommodations to what they do. They eliminate fellowship time. They're not able to sing. They have to wear masks. They have to keep distanced. And they cannot even pray together in unison. And so if you look at our liturgy, the way that it is structured, if it isn't singing, or it isn't call and response, or it isn't a prayer, it is essentially biblical readings and my preaching, which would account for approximately 15 minutes of a service. And then one of our most cherished traditions together is coffee hour, which we wouldn't be able to do. So essentially, we would be coming to church for a very short service without the ability to really engage with each other in the way that we are used to. And Bronwyn, Nina, and I's thought on this is that we would be reminded of what we are missing and what we have lost. And we know that with the trends as they are, with people getting vaccinated, that we are on the path to a return to normal, and that we will continue to find new ways to be together and continue to produce a product for you to be able to explore faith and to explore church from home and asynchronously from a distance until we are able to resume that which is so dear to us, which is being together in community in the way that we were in early March of 2020, which seems like a long time ago, but we are now on, I believe, the downhill slide. And I would hope that if our vaccination trends continue to be what they are, and with the prayer that there is no mishap with a variant or something of that degree, or a new outbreak, that we would be to a point where we could worship and sing together sometime in the fall of this year. And so that's what Nina, Bronwyn, and I have been talking about and have been dreaming about and planning for. And so our hope is that perhaps by September, October, we will be at a point where the county health folks tell us that singing in church is something that we can do and that we can return together and sing joyfully. And I'm very confident and very hopeful that by Palm Sunday and Easter of next year, we will be together in our full, wonderful way that we are as church, doing what we do best. So with that said, may it be so. Amen.